The Lennoxes were out in their front yard videotaping Annabelle while Ironhide stood guard in the driveway, continually scanning the horizon for any potential attack.
Oh look! I think she's gonna do it again!
Annabelle was trying to walk. The captain gently held out his hands, which she used to pull herself upright. Planting her tiny feet, she clenched her fists. She took a few tentative steps before plopping down on her diapered bottom. Will helped her up again.
Oops. Try again, Annie.
Annie made several more attempts until she was toddling with much more confidence. Ironhide tipped his head with unexpected fascination. It was a rather primitive start, but with more exercise, the muscles in Annabelle's legs would develop properly. Captain Lennox turned his head, noting the Autobot's intense stare. He smiled. Ironhide suddenly noticed Will's stare and quickly averted his optics, grunting quietly. The deep noise caught Annabelle's attention, and she directed her awkward walk towards the driveway. Sarah lowered the camera slightly.
Come back, Annie!
But Annabelle didn't hear her mother. She was fixated on Ironhide's foot. Sarah took a step forward.
Annie, stay in the yard!
It's all right, Sarah. Let her meet him.
Worry still filled the woman's eyes, but she didn't intervene. Ironhide was too set on guard duty to be aware of Annabelle's close proximity.
She's coming to you, Ironhide.
The guardian looked down with a startled jolt upon seeing the tiny girl toddling toward him. He cautiously took a step back. Will almost laughed aloud watching the giant weapons specialist retreating from his daughter.
Captain Lennox.
It's all right, Ironhide. She just wants to meet you.
Ironhide froze until Annabelle made it to his foot. She put two hands on one of the thick struts that supported his weight, taking a break from walking. Annabelle touched his slick metal inquisitively. Sarah and Will were amazed by her daughter's boldness. They weren't sure if Annabelle realized Ironhide was even a living thing and not just some playground equipment. The encounter was writing uneasiness all over Ironhide's metal face.
What am I supposed to do?
Just hold still.
The sound of Ironhide's voice made Annabelle tip her head all the way back. She seemed to be wondering where that big voice was coming from, but the moment her head rolled back, the shift of weight threw her off balance. Her feet danced across the concrete erratically, trying to find her lost balance, but it was no use. Unexpectedly, Ironhide dipped down and caught the little toddler in one massive hand, preventing the fall. Ironhide remained still, allowing the young one to find her feet. She finally let go. Once his scans determined she was steady, he removed his hand. The little girl turned to look at him with a smile. Will finally stepped in and scooped up his daughter. He put his forehead to Annabelle's.
Did you see that, Annie? Ironhide saved you. Can you say thank you?
Ironhide wasn't sure what to make of the encounter. It was strange. A warmth was creeping into his spark. He ran a quick diagnostic to make sure nothing was wrong. Months later, Ironhide sat in the driveway disguised as a topkick when Will came out to retrieve the mail.
Morning, Ironhide.
Right behind Lennox trotted Annabelle. Her honey blonde hair bounced with curls as she clutched a small stuffed kitty. Over the past few months, Ironhide observed that the walking practice had paid off, and now the little girl was running around at remarkable speeds for one so small. Annabelle was also talking more, saying small phrases and identifying things in her high-pitched voice. She instantly ran to Ironhide's front bumper and patted it.
Wake up, Ironhide!
Ironhide tried to ignore her. He reasoned that if he could successfully ignore the child, then there was no chance he could inadvertently hurt her. So he played hard to get, hoping she would lose interest and find something else to do. But Annabelle was quite enamored with the gigantic Autobot, and would persistently pester him until he bent to her will. The quirk irritated Ironhide because the toddler always won the battle. But not today. Annabelle tapped his bumper again.
Ironhide, wake up!
He didn't move a piston. Frowning, Annabelle toddled over to the driver's door and banged on it.
Wake up, Ironhide!
Not a sound. Pouting, Annabelle put down her toy and pushed against his front tire in a futile effort to budge him.
Wake up!
Leave Ironhide alone, honey.
But the child refused to give up. Stubbornly, she banged on Ironhide's bumper with an open palm, then stomped her foot.
Wake up, wake up, wake up!
No response from her favorite truck. She forlornly looked to her father, who walked through the gate and picked her up.
Ironhide, now wake up!
Let's leave Ironhide alone, okay?
Ironhide smirked smugly to himself. He'd finally won this time. That is, until Captain Lennox started walking back to the door. Annabelle stretched her chin over her father's shoulder, staring back at the silent topkick. Her wide blue eyes were shimmering with tears as she sadly reached out.
Ironhide!
A horrible twinge shook his spark. Very quickly he stood up, raising his hand to perhaps stop them, but they were already inside. The screen door banged shut. Ironhide's hand dropped. Ironhide felt lower than lubricant sludge. Sullenly, he glanced down, noticing Annabelle's stuffed kitty next to his foot. He bent down, plucked up the toy, and slowly walked away from the house. For nearly an hour, Ironhide sat by his favorite tree, deep in thought. He held the little stuffed kitty in his palm, just staring at it. The toy's fake eyes seemed to behold blame in their reflective surfaces. He grimaced, closing his hand around the little plaything to hide its accusing stare. Giving a deep, mechanical sigh, he slammed his fist into the ground next to him.
Whoa!
Ironhide turned quickly. Captain Lennox was sprawled out on his back, just a foot from his fist. The black Autobot picked up the man and gently put him back on his feet.
No, forgive me, Captain Lennox. I didn't see you there. Are you undamaged?
Yeah. Are you all right?
Of course. Why wouldn't I be?
I don't know. You just seem a little tense.
I am fine.
Good. Good.
Here. Your daughter left this outside.
The small stuffed kitty dropped into Lennox's hands.
Oh, thanks. You don't like Annabelle, do you?
What?
It's all right if you don't, Ironhide. Some people just don't like children.
One of Ironhide's cannons rolled its internal mechanisms as his indignation grew. He leaned over the man.
I never said I don't like Annabelle.
So you do like Annabelle?
She is tolerable.
I'll take that as a yes, I do like Annabelle. From you.
Ironhide gave a grudging nod.
I'm glad. She really thinks the world of you. You really hurt her feelings by ignoring her.
Ironhide shifted as if uncomfortable in his own exoskeleton.
You know, ever since she started walking, you've been very aloof.
And why shouldn't I be?
Well, we just want you to be part of our family.
All at once, the Autobot stood up, paced away, then returned.
Well, take a good look at me.
Throwing his cannons in a fancy spin, Ironhide raised himself up. Then he gazed at his cannons introspectively.
Do I even look like I could be a part of a human family?
Well?
I am a weapon specialist, Will. My cannons have the capability of leveling 15 square miles if I need to. Primus, I could destroy your house just by bumping into it. I'm built for combat, not care.
That's not true.
Are your eyes broken? The moment I let out my guard, I could get careless and...
You know, it's uncanny. Both you and my father are a lot alike.
How's that?
My dad was a soldier, too. He fought in the Gulf War as a sergeant. He saw lots of horrible things in that war. Things that changed him.
War does that.
See, he got so good at being a soldier, when he returned home to Mom and me, he had to relearn how to live as a civilian again. The transition wasn't smooth. You're facing the same thing as he did. The same thing all us soldiers face.
Ironhide felt inwardly impressed by Lennox's reasoning abilities. He himself had been a soldier for eons, fighting for his and the lives of others. Now he was expected to be a guardian, a role so drastically different from war and combat.
The point is, Ironhide, I understand the transition is hard, but Sarah and I trust you. You just have to learn to trust yourself. Relax a little.
Ironhide thought deeply about Lennox's sage words. He would have never guessed such wisdom would come from a human. Will started to walk back to the house, and Ironhide plotted a safe distance beside him. Lennox smirked.
Under all that metal and firepower, you do have some compassion.
Probably a glitch in my mainframe.
Laughing, Lennox tossed the stuffed kitty up to Ironhide.
Well, use that glitch and give that back to Annabelle.
Once they reached the house, Ironhide circled around to the second-story window where Annabelle's room was. His 25-foot height made looking in the upper levels of the house easy. He could see Annabelle sitting on Sarah's lap, sucking her thumb. She looked tired, like she'd been crying. Ironhide's spark twinged again. As gentle as he could muster, he tapped the roof. Both females jumped, but when Annabelle saw Ironhide filling the window, she wiggled out of her mother's lap and ran to him. Sarah opened the window for her.
Ironhide, you waked up!
Yes. Here.
Ironhide held out her stuffed kitty, which Annabelle grabbed and held close.
Thank you!
You are... welcome?
2 years passed like a blur, and whether Ironhide admitted it or not, he was growing quite fond of the human family he was assigned to guard. Presently, Will was gone for his drill week and ordered Ironhide to stay and watch over the girls. At first, the Guardian's natural reaction was to protest, but the soldier's insistence convinced him it was the wiser course of action. Ironhide guarded the house with even more intensity than usual. He paced the farmyard like a caged beast, stealing a downward glance at his two charges in the front yard, Sarah was watering her flowers while Annabelle was chasing grasshoppers.
Ironhide, will you relax? You're making a trench in the driveway with that incessant pacing.
The big Autobot turned and looked up, scanning a jet that was flying high in the clouds.
Why don't you go sit in the shade? You look like you're baking in your metal.
I am fine.
You need to relax because you are driving me nuts. Go!
Out of habit, Ironhide rolled his left cannon but decided to comply. Immediately, Annabelle chased after him.
Wait!
Ironhide paused, waiting for the 3-year-old to catch up, but suddenly she ran past him, giggling.
Can't catch me!
Ironhide raised an eye plate with an atypical smirk. They'd played this game before. Oddly enough, Annabelle's laughter soothed his previous tension. There weren't many things that could do that for the resolute war veteran. He decided, since no one was really watching, he'd play her game.
Ah, so you challenge my child-catching abilities. Very well, I accept your challenge.
Annabelle suddenly made a break for the tree, laughing and screaming. Ironhide paced himself, stomping after her.
Oh, no you don't!
In one giant step, he overtook her, reached down, and plucked her up with 2 fingers. The little girl squealed in mock terror, beating his fingers with the flats of her palms.
No! Put me down!
Do you surrender?
No, you cheat!
I do not cheat. I improvise.
Ironhide made it to the shade and gradually sat down. Laying back on the cool grass, very tenderly, he sat Annabelle on the highest point of his chest, between the 2 halves of the grill. The 3-year-old swung her legs over the edge of his plating, smiling down at his face.
I win?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Annabelle grinned, showing her dimples. She looked down at the shiny ebony metal of his chest and put her ear to the slick surface. Ironhide's optic shutters dipped in a squint of confusion. Annabelle chewed on her lower lip as she listened. Then she scooted to a different spot on Ironhide's chest and put her ear down again, her eyes conveying concern.
What's wrong?
I can't hear it.
What can't you hear?
The little girl placed a hand to her chest.
Hot?
Well, of course not. I don't have a heart.
No?
No.
Where'd it go?
Annabelle was shook slightly by a deep rumbling chuckle under Ironhide's plating. She smiled broadly, genuinely surprised by the rare sound.
Autobots like me don't have hearts like you humans do.
Why?
We're just different.
Oh. Ironhide, what a Decepticon.
Though she fumbled the name, Ironhide knew instantly what she'd said. His optics widened, flashing brightly.
Where did you hear that word?
Mommy, she's scared the Decepticons might come. What a Decepticon?
Well, Decepticons are the enemies of Autobots like me and humans like you.
They bad?
Yes, very bad.
What do they look like?
They are metal like me. Some are small like you, but most are big. They have red optics, eyes.
The little girl huddled closer to Ironhide's chassis. Holding his arm close to her body, Ironhide knew she was getting scared, so he took her in his hand and sat up, stroking the girl's back with his smooth side of his thumb.
Now listen to me, Annabelle. I don't want you to be scared. I promise, I will protect you from the Decepticons.
Promise?
Yes, but you must promise me something. If you see a Decepticon, if you see those red eyes, I want you to run away as fast as you can and hide. Can you do that for old Ironhide?
Kay!
Ironhide certainly hoped she wouldn't have to see one of those slagging fiends, and he would do his damnedest to make sure she didn't have to. Far away, hidden amongst a densely forested area, the danger was closer than Ironhide knew. Laserbeak returned to Soundwave, transformed and returned to the space in his host's chest compartment.
So, what will Buzzard find out?
Primary target acquired 248 miles due east.
They're close then. Does Laserbeak have the identification of Ironhide's human allies?
Names unknown. Transmitting visual now.
In a blur, the images flashed through Barricade's optic processors. There was Ironhide in his robot mode, standing a short distance from a human dwelling. He appeared to be guarding a pair of human females, even though his cannons were folded passively in their respective holsters. A human child was running just under the imposing black Autobot. Ironhide appeared to be watching her. Oddly, Barricade noted the infamous Decepticon Terminator was smiling, and not in a malicious way, either. Then, Ironhide reached down, gently picked up the child, and sat down with her. The image dissipated. Barricade rewound the short clip and enhanced the facial features of the child so he could positively identify her. He smiled darkly.
Laserbeak did well. Notify Starscream we found our targets.
Lifting his head, Soundwave's red visor flashed. Barricade cringed. Ever since he joined Soundwave weeks ago, Barricade was continually unnerved. He couldn't see his face. There was no telling what Soundwave was feeling. That is, if he could feel at all.
What is it, Soundwave?
Targets located. Awaiting further instructions.
Very good. I will be returning to Earth with Thundercracker and Skywarp within the week. Keep yourselves out of sight. I will contact you before we enter Earth's atmosphere. Starscream out.
When Will returned from drill, he decided it was time to rebuild the barn as a new workshop for Ironhide. Much to the mech's surprise, Will announced his plans and he agreed to aid in the building project. They both had made a trip to town and returned home fully loaded with lumber and steel piping. Sarah and Annabelle were pulling out the driveway in the family car as they pulled up.
Where are you two going?
Well, Annabelle's going to start preschool soon, so we're going shopping for school clothes.
Let me unload these materials and I will take you.
That's all right, Ironhide. You don't have to trouble yourself.
Ironhide blocked the driveway with insistence.
No, I insist I take you. I do not like to split you up.
It's okay, Ironhide. We'll be back by 6. Besides, I think you and Will have a project to work on.
Yeah, don't you want to help me build your pad?
Though Ironhide clearly didn't like it, he moved out of the way.
Contact me if you need anything. I will come.
We will. Have fun, boys.
Later that day, Barricade and Soundwave were killing time on a lonely strip of highway when, like bolts of metal lightning, 3 jets buzzed them.
How's the scenery down there?
About time you 3 showed up. What are you doing out in the open sky? Don't you know that humans and Autobots can pick up your signatures?
Don't take me for a fool, Barricade. I know all the Autobots' sensor capabilities, and I have compensated. I've developed a scrambling device that cloaks our signatures.
All 3 jets swooped around in perfect sync, transformed, and landed just ahead. All 5 Decepticons stood together as Starscream began a leader-like pacing.
My fellow Decepticons, our mission is one of vengeance against the Autobot scum and their human allies for terminating our comrades.
Yeah, we know you're all busted up about Megatron meeting the Matrix.
Silence! The point is I am not about to let the Autobots think they have won. Oh yes, their victory will be short-lived.
Starscream flared his wingtips wider with dramatic gestures.
Optimus Prime is a strong foe, but any structure will fall if its foundation is destroyed. That is why we will terminate his strongest link. The weapon specialist, Ironhide.
A nervous ripple passed between the Decepticons.
Have you blown your logic circuit, Starscream? You're talking about the most ruthless Decepticon Terminator in the entire Autobot Armada.
Yeah, that Autobot ain't soft like the other ones.
Oh, is he? Thanks to my 2 spies, we have learned that Ironhide has a weakness. He's guarding a small human family whom he apparently cares for.
So?
Think about it, you moron. If we capture the humans, we can use them to make Ironhide surrender. Then, we can terminate him at our leisure.
And just how do we get Ironhide to leave them? He guards them constantly.
Razorbeak reports female human and offspring are missing. Autobot weapon specialist not with them.
Missing? Where are they?
Searching. 30 miles southwest of their dwelling. Returning.
Ah! We'll never intercept them in time.
Then I suggest we lure Ironhide away from the home before the females return.
Then, oh clever one, how would you propose to lure him?
Barricade gave Soundwave a glance and smirked. Ironhide and Will were welding the building framework together, when all at once...
Ironhide, come in.
Ironhide here.
Ironhide, we've had a serious development back at headquarters. I need you to return immediately.
What's happened?
No time to explain. I don't know who could be listening. Report to headquarters immediately, and I will brief you.
Understood. I'll have to retrieve Sarah and Annabelle before I come.
No time, Ironhide. We need you here now.
I cannot leave them alone, Optimus.
Bumblebee has just been briefed. I will send him to guard Sarah and Annabelle.
Very well. I'm on my way. Ironhide out. Get in. We're needed at Autobot headquarters.
What's going on? What about my family?
Bumblebee's coming to guard them while we are gone. I'll explain on the way.
All right, let's go.
Autobot leaving dwelling.
Good work with that voice modifier, Soundwave.
Acknowledged.
Barricade, Soundwave. When the females return, you will capture both of them and bring them back to these coordinates. I want them alive.
When 6:30 rolled around, Sarah entered their darkened house, depositing all of her purchases on the kitchen table. Annabelle trudged in behind her, her eyes drooping sleepily.
Will, we're home! Maybe he and Ironhide went to get some more supplies. Come on, Annie. You've had a big day. Run upstairs and get ready for your bath.
Sarah didn't notice the red lights looming in the darkness outside. It was almost dark by the time Ironhide and Will pulled into Autobot headquarters. Ironhide threw open the door and marched inside.
What's happening?
A surprised Ratchet turned from his monitors.
Well, Ironhide and Will, what brings you all the way out here?
No time for wisecracks, Ratchet. Where's Optimus?
Out on patrols, I suppose. Why? What has happened?
You know very well what. Optimus ordered me here for an urgent briefing about whatever has happened.
What do you mean, Ironhide? Nothing has happened.
What? Then why did Optimus order me out here?
Ratchet calling Optimus.
Prime here.
Where the slag are you, Optimus? You said you needed to brief me on the current situation. That it was urgent.
I didn't call you, Ironhide.
What? Of course you did. You said I needed to report to headquarters and you would send Bumblebee to guard Sarah and—
Ironhide, Bumblebee is with Sam. I never called you.
Ironhide's face fell with horror.
Sarah, Annabelle.
Hey, wait! Ironhide!
Sarah was putting away the groceries when suddenly all the lights went out. She cursed, trying to grope her way to the fuse box, when all at once she heard someone come up into the front porch. She peeked out the kitchen window to see when... Shielding herself behind the kitchen doorframe, Sarah saw a human-sized robot bull its way through the busted doorframe, red optics darting about. Sarah stared in horror at the metal invader. Its arms were thick and looked like a pair of massive hammer pistons. Just as she was taking in the first invader, a second appeared. This one looked like a metal jungle cat with twin guns mounted on its hips and a black exoskeleton. Suddenly, it caught sight of her, lowering itself closer to the floor in a classic stalking cat stance.
This one, get her, Rabbit!
The mechanical beast leapt straight at Sarah, who ran through the kitchen toward the stairs. Sarah's first instinct was to run upstairs to protect Annabelle, but a second thought made her change course and run for Will's gun cabinet. The sound of the cybernetic panther's metal claws on the kitchen linoleum made her heart flutter with panic. She miraculously made it to the gun cabinet, flung open the glass door, and with shaky hands seized up Will's shotgun. She whirled just as Ravage leaped for her. The point-blank shot knocked the metal cat off balance, sending it crashing into the wall beside her. Adrenaline roared through her veins. The metal beast shook its head and backed off with bared fangs. However, it didn't seem very hurt. The shotgun blast had only made minor scratches over its metal hide. Before Sarah could fire again, a metal hand clamped down on the end of the barrel, crushing it shut like a paper cup. The small robot easily wrenched the weapon out of her grip and bent in half. Distracted, Sarah was struck in the shoulders by a pair of metal paws and slammed to the floor, driving all the air from her lungs. Metal fangs bared inches from her face as Ravage pinned her with both paws, digging in his claws.
There's no one else here. What do you want from me?
Shut up, Fleshy. The boss said there's another one here. A little one. Where is it?
There's no one here!
Suddenly, the humanoid's arms shifted apart, and the two huge pistons reappeared. He viciously slammed one of the metal hammers straight through the floor next to Sarah's head.
Where is it?
There's no one else!
The Decepticon cocked his head in an irritated way and positioned his pistons just over Sarah's ankles. Her eyes bulged in horror as he cocked them back.
Mommy?
Coming, sweetheart.
Annabelle, run! Decepticons!
Mommy!
Take that one out to separate, Ravage. I'll get the little one.
Ravage clamped his strong jaw around Sarah's arm and began dragging her toward the door.
No! Leave her alone! Annabelle, run! Run!
Sarah tried to fight, but the strength of the metal beast was too much, and she was hauled out the door like a deer in the jaws of a tiger. Ravage jumped off the porch and in a single bound leaped over the fence. He released Sarah's arm in midair, hurling her forward. The woman brutally rolled across the ground until she came to a stop in the driveway.
Excellent, Ravage.
Sarah lifted her head, seeing two massive metal feet on either side of her. She tried to get up and run, but she was suddenly seized up by a giant metal hand. She came face to face with a crimson visor and metal faceplate. The woman froze, seeing her own horrified expression in the Decepticon's crimson eye shade. A band of light swept over it. She struggled vainly in the Decepticon's iron grip.
Please don't hurt my baby girl. You can take me instead.
Request denied.
Inside the house, Annabelle was petrified when she saw the red eyes at the base of the stairs. She immediately remembered what Ironhide had told her and ran down the hall to her room, slamming the door. Quickly, she crawled under her bed, frightened tears wetting her eyes. Annabelle closed her eyes, trying to keep quiet.
Here's Rebel!
Annabelle held her breath when she saw the metal feet of the Decepticon enter the room and stalk around the bed. She could hear him opening her closet doors and sift through her stuff, trying to find her.
I know you're in here, fleshy. Come out so I don't have to mess up the place.
Scared, Annabelle crawled toward the foot of her bed, slithered out the door on her hands and knees, and ran for the stairs.
Hey!
Rumble charged after her, but in his urgency, he forgot his bulky pile drivers couldn't fit through the doorframe. He jolted to a halt with a startled yelp, awkwardly trying to fit his arms through. Annabelle was already out the back door by the time he hit the living room floor. Carelessly, she looked back to see how close he was and unknowingly ran right into Barricade's waiting claws. The huge metal talons encircled her and lifted her right off the ground, bringing her close to his crimson optics.
Silence, you little...
Hey, she's mine!
Shut up, Rumble. Doesn't matter who catches them.
You took away my job, you piece of scrap. I gotta smash your head in.
Save it, you waste of alloy. We got what we came for.
Barricade stalked away with his catch, leaving Rumble pissed off. The temperamental drone growled dangerously, whirled around to face the house, and struck the ground repeatedly with his pile drivers.
Rumble, stop wasting time.
Sorry, boss.
The entire Lennox house split in half, almost caving in. Barricade handed Annabelle over to Soundwave while he transformed. Curtly, Soundwave deposited both females into the cop car. The seatbelt snaked around them, tightly strapping them in place as the door shut. Then, Soundwave collected his drone, picked up the police cruiser, and shot off into the night sky to hide their tracks. Mission accomplished. Ironhide barreled down the country road as fast as his engine could spin his tires. Panic, an often foreign sensation to the old Autobot, asserted itself violently into his mainframe. Something terrible had transpired. He could feel it in his cannons. At last, the farm was in sight, and the black top kick barely stopped before it exploded outward into Ironhide's bipedal form. He ran up to the house, cannons alive with blue and orange light. A terrible jolt of electricity surged through his processors when he saw the devastated state of the Lennox home.
Sarah! Annabelle!
Hurriedly, he moved around to the backside of the house and peeked in Annabelle's room.
Annabelle?
Annabelle's bedroom door was broken down. Ragged holes riddled the walls, and her room was in shambles. He began to feverishly scour the property of his charges. His search yielded no reward. Crashing to his knees in the front drive, the old Autobot felt as if his spark had extinguished. He'd failed them. He hadn't been there to protect them. His optics flashed dangerously as he surveyed the farmyard again. Ironhide immediately spotted two sets of large footprints, accompanied by two smaller sets. In an instant, he recognized the prints. Soundwave and his drones. And Barricade, too. Both of his monstrous cannons revved up.
I'll find them. By Primus, I'll find them.